Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is a Christmas Eve special, if you will. And we have a great guest for you on You, the Owner's Manual. This is 972B. I guess that means we've been doing it over 18 years. 972B podcast. And we have a wonderful guest to talk about aging of the skin, but more importantly, what to do if you regret a tattoo. His name is Dr. Paul Stanislaw. It's StanislawMD.com is the website. StanislawMD.com is the website. And you'll hear a lot about tattoos and facial aging, as well as maybe other things that we get to. We are brought to you, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. MyPersona.com is where you can find out about your nutritional needs. It's a free assessment, and speak to a dietitian or nutritionist, especially if you're confused about vitamins and supplements. He or she can help straighten you out. Their usual she's at PersonaNutrition.com or MyPersona.com. But we have a wonderful guest, as I said, for you today. This is Dr. Paul Stanislaw. Dr. Stanislaw, how many, and I guess the basic question is, I see a lot of people with tattoos. How many, what percent of people have tattoos, and what percent of those wish they didn't?
So it's actually 42% of Americans today, on the latest survey, have tattoos. And on that survey, 25% of them regret the decision.
So fully 10% of all Americans are regretting that they've got a tattoo. And is it getting more or less? It seemed to me there was a big amount of tattoos in 10 years ago, and it's calmed down a little bit now. Or is that just an imagination because so many people have them already?
So statistically, more and more people are getting tattoos. It actually hasn't even plateaued. It's still getting higher each year. And, you know, it's becoming much more of an accepted art form. They're getting better with new colors and different inks. So you're seeing, like the old days, you just saw a black tattoo. Now you see the whole spectrum of colors. So it's actually growing. The whole field is.
Now, some of these colors, I understand, are risky, such as red. And in the notes that I was given about this, I noticed that you didn't talk about getting rid of red. Red is, a lot of it is cadmium, isn't it? Or is that just old school that I learned that?
Well, it's not really. So the red, the chromophore, is actually one of the colors that we can treat pretty well today. It's the other colors that are more like the beiges, the yellows, the light blues. We don't have lasers with wavelengths that really can treat those colors today. And that's the thing. The spectrum, they're having a big explosion of the variety of colors that people can have. And a lot of those finer flesh-colored tattoos are harder to remove. And sometimes it's just degrees of improvement. It's just you can make it less noticeable, but you can't remove it completely.
And now, when people come to you and want a tattoo removed because of regrets, where are most of those tattoos? Are they in the intimate parts of the body, or are they in observable by others, or are they in areas covered by clothes? Where are they usually, or are they any place?
So mostly for men, it's mostly on the arms. So a lot of times it's on the arms. More recently, you know, you're seeing more on the neck, like around the ears and stuff like that. And that's becoming an issue, you know, with like if people want to go into the military or to become a police officer, a lot of times they have rules and restrictions on where those tattoos can be. For women, it can sort of be all over, on the chest, in the breasts, on the legs, a little on the back. So for women, it's kind of all over the body.
And now, what's the process if someone has a, let's just say they have a black only tattoo, black ink only, and I don't know if there are multiple black inks, but it's a black ink only tattoo, and they come to you in Avon, Connecticut, where I guess your office is located, they say, I want to get rid of this tattoo totally, and let's just say it's on a shoulder or something like that. What's the process? How many meetings? How many times do they have to come? How often do you laser them, or is there another technique? What do you use? I know it used to be kind of almost sandblasting to get rid of it. The laser has helped with that. Is that correct?
So in the old days, we used to do dermabrasion, essentially trying to sand the skin and sand the pigment out of the skin. But that left a lot of scarring. If the tattoos were really small, or if the people had allergies to the dye, we would actually end up cutting out the tattoos, just surgically removing them. With the advent of lasers, it's really changed the whole landscape. So currently today, there's two different groups of lasers. There's the Q-switched laser, which is actually working in a nanosecond pulse. It's sort of the most common laser type for removing tattoos. And the newest version are the picosecond lasers. Those are for very, very small particles. So a lot of times we will start out with the Q-switched laser, and it's usually a treatment schedule of about 6 to 8 weeks. Every 6 to 8 weeks, someone will come in. The duration of the treatment depends on how big the tattoo is. If the tattoo is maybe the size of, say, a dollar bill, that would probably take anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to take care of. You have also patients that, you know, they have a sleeve. It goes from their wrist all the way up to their shoulder. Of course, that's going to take a lot longer.
And is it removed in, one treatment?
Oh, no.
I should tell people we're talking with Dr. Stanislaw. Paul Stanislaw, STANISLAWMD.com is the website. Paul is in Avon, Connecticut, and is an expert at a lot of things relating to the skin, but one of them that we wanted to talk to him about is tattoo removal. So it's multiple sessions. It's not just one session?
Correct. So it averages around 12 sessions. If you take all comers, but there's definitely times when it takes over 20 sessions to try to clear a tattoo. Again, it depends on if it's professionally done or an amateur tattoo, and the colors, and actually the body location. So things that are on like the ankles and the lower part of the legs are harder to clear than things that are on the upper body.
And is this because what clears it after you radiate it, it needs blood flow to get rid of those particles, or is MI or lymph, or what? Is it cleared in the blood or the lymph, or how?
So what happens is the light passes through the skin. The light is absorbed by the pigment. It heats it up so fast that it actually causes an acoustic pop, and it fractures that particle into a smaller piece. The smaller particles are then allowed to be eaten by macrophages. So the immune system then attacks those little particles, and then it will remove those particles and correct to the lymph nodes to get rid of them, to break it up and get rid of them. So the number of treatments depends on, you know, how many particles, how deep the particles are, and it is dependent on the immune system actually removing those particles from the skin.
Now, does a professional tattoo, rather, require more laser treatments or less?
The professional's harder to clear. The professional's harder to clear because you've got it. And it's a better quality ink. The amateur ones, it's a variety of materials, but it's usually more superficial and it's usually easier to clear.
And what area of the body, you said, so it relates to blood and lymph flow, so I imagine that the neck will clear relatively quickly because it's got better blood lymph flow, or maybe I'm wrong, but the lower leg and the foot must be some of the toughest to clear.
It is. So in my experience, tattoos like around the ankles or the feet are much, much harder to clear than of the upper body. The upper body's, again, you're correct, because it's got better blood flow, better immune system, better lymphatic drainage. Those tend to clear easier than the ones that are on the lower body.
Now, are some of the inks poisonous? That is, toxic to the human body so that you don't want to break them up. In other words, I was told that a red tattoo, because it is cadmium, you don't want to break that up. Am I wrong in that, or was I told wrong? I don't know any. This is what I was told.
Well, the most common scenario is people can be allergic to the ink. And in that situation, if someone's allergic to the ink, they're going to have a rash over the tattoo. There's going to be an inflammatory process going on there. In that situation, you'd often biopsy it to confirm that that is indeed what's going on, that they're having this immune reaction. And in that situation, you really can't treat that because you will spread that throughout the body and make the allergic reaction worse. So when people have allergic issues with their tattoo, they have to be excised. So that can be a serial excision to remove them. And it gets harder when they get bigger. From a red ink standpoint, from a cadmium standpoint, again, a lot of those materials, it varies. It depends on, like, if you had it in China or if you had it in America. So, you know, the quality of the person actually doing the tattoos and the ink that they're using. So a lot of the professional tattoos are very safe, like the colors, the reds and stuff like that. They're very safe to have in you. They're very safe to be treated with the laser. But again, it sort of depends on how, like, where the source is of the ink and how upstanding those people are. Who knows what people sometimes put into them, especially like the amateur ones. It can be a variety of materials. What's interesting, though, is that the whole industry, the industry that makes the ink for tattoos, they are working on making inks that can be removed easier, that actually are more laser friendly, that we can break them down with fewer treatments. So that'll be interesting and more exciting with time, so these people can have their tattoos and then we can remove them easier when they want to get rid of them.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Let's talk about what colors are toughest to remove. You said the black ones are relatively easy because they're, if you will, black ink, and especially if it's done by an amateur, I suppose, in an area where, like an arm or shoulder or neck, where there's good blood flow, it's probably fewer treatments than in the leg or foot.
Right.
But what's the toughest color to remove?
Yellows.
It's yellow.
Yeah. It's purely a function of physics. It has to do with the wavelength. So we've limited lasers with limited wavelengths, and we don't have a laser that emits a color that's absorbed by yellow well. So it has to do, you know, like a tomato is red because it absorbs green, right? So if I wanted to cook a tomato, I'm going to use a green colored laser. With the yellows, it's just we don't have a chromophore, a laser light that's going to affect that, that's going to really treat the yellow.
One of the things we can tell people if they're worried about having regrets, so if they're worried about having regrets, have it black and done by an amateur. If they're not worried about regrets, yellow is fine by a professional. What are the other tough colors? In other words, is blue a tough color? Is green a tough color? Or are those equal from a physics standpoint?
Historically, blue is tough. We've gotten better at treating blues, but even the light blues are very hard to clear them completely. So light blue is another one that's very hard. We've gotten better. I mean, the technology's gotten a lot better. But the light blues, the yellows, the beiges, those colors are really the hardest to treat.
So you have someone come in, and how much does this cost over a, let's just say it's a dollar bill size on the arm? Is that a, are we up for 12 treatments? That's an awful lot of work.
So it would be about, like the industry average for, say, a dollar bill size on the arm would be $250.
Even though they require 12 treatments?
Per treatment. So it would be 250, 250, 250, 250 times 12.
Ah, so it's like $3,000.
Correct. So just imagine if someone has their whole arm tattooed, the amount of time, it's every 15 minutes. Again, industry standard is about $250 per 15 minutes.
Whoa, so when you get a tattoo, you ought to almost put in the bank what it is to remove it.
Yes, because...
because it's an expensive process. I imagine that, what does a tattoo cost to begin with? I don't even know anymore. If someone came to you and said, I want a tattoo, how much is it going to cost me and how much will it cost me to remove it if I don't want it?
I have no idea how much it costs. And again, I'm sure it depends on the artistry and the respect that the tattoo artist has in the community. But I can tell you, it is always sticker shock when you tell people how much it's going to cost to remove it compared to how much it costs to put it on.
Make sure before you have a tattoo. I guess that the major health message of this is tattoos probably aren't healthy, and make sure you know what you're doing before you get it. Let's talk a little bit about skin aging. So a lot of people have seen these ads on TV for things like Plexiderm and other things. Do any of these have a real benefit? We know that there are new lasers, there's new skin fillers, but let's talk, are any of the over-the-counter products in your mind worthwhile?
Yes, there are plenty of over-the-counter products that are worthwhile. And just a couple points. I never use the term anti-aging. There is no cream, there's no magic that's going to stop anyone from aging. All these things are geared to slow down the rate at which you are going to age, just aging better at a better rate. So, like, the most cost-effective, best thing that you can do from a slowing down the aging rate is wear a good quality sunblock with zinc oxide in it. It should be 9% or greater. Zinc oxide comes in nanoparticles now. It comes micronized, so it goes on clear. And the medical-grade ones are a little bit more expensive, but they're better quality. They're less. They're much more clear, and they don't give people pimples. Wearing a sunblock every day with zinc oxide is the best thing you can do from slowing down the aging process. Now, for over-the-counter products, there are plenty of retinoids, things that are related to retin A, so retinols. Now, they're not as strong as prescription-strength retin A or retinols or tretinoin, but they still do something. So if you had to do... if you just were using over-the-counter products, you'd want to use a product that's got a retinol in it, a retinoid. The retinols are like it's related to vitamin A, so it's an antioxidant. There are other antioxidants that you can use: topical vitamin C, topical vitamin E. All of those things have been proven to help you hold on to your skin elasticity for longer. So antioxidants, scavenging those free particles, they help your skin stay elastic for longer. Then there's the acids. So then you have like glycolic acids, lactic acids, and they are, think of them as a treatment. You're putting them onto your skin. They're causing this little injury to the skin. It's causing the skin to exfoliate. It's stimulating the skin to for the fibroblasts to lay down a little bit more collagen, causing the fibroblasts to pull on the collagen and then tighten the skin a little bit. Now, realize that those acids that are over-the-counter, the lactic acids, the glycolic acids, the salicylic acids, they're okay. They're not as strong as more physician-grade or prescription-grade stuff, but they still do something. So those are things that are over-the-counter. And again, I'm not here to promote a brand. You just have to look at the ingredients. The one thing that I would recommend, though, is if people are using those over-the-counter products, is that you have to make sure that the skin is clean first. So you have to use like a gentle cleanser. You have to make sure that the skin is dry. You don't want to apply these products to wet skin. So you'd want to have complete wash your face, dry it, make sure it's completely dry. Then you'd want to do like your acid, your glycolic acid, your salicylic acid. If you do it to wet skin, it'll neutralize the product. It doesn't work. You'd wait about 15 minutes, and then you could do sort of your topical vitamin C, vitamin E stuff in the morning. At nighttime, you do your topical retinoid at night. In the morning, after you let that dry, then you'd put your sunblock on. You let that dry, and then you'd put your makeup on if you're a woman, and if you're a guy, you're all set to go.
And so what we've learned is that to slow the aging of skin, most important, 9% micronized zinc oxide sunblock every day on all exposed areas. And then some of the over-the-counter products do actually have a benefit. You said the glycolic acids in, if you will, being a, I guess it is, getting rid of the old skin. And then the topical vitamin A or retinoids or vitamin C, depending on time of day, make sure your skin is clean and dry when you apply any of those, probably including the zinc oxide. Did I get what you said?
Nope, that's 100% correct.
And the other thing, I suppose, is don't get a tattoo in any area where you want anyone to see it. Because unless you're absolutely sure, because it's a very expensive removal process, in addition to probably being not, is it painful to remove some of these? It must be in some areas.
It's actually not that bad. During the treatment, it feels like a hot rubber band just snapping you, like giving you a little snap. Now, again, if it's like your whole arm or your whole back, that, yeah, I guess that could add up. But usually, it's very, very well tolerated, the treatment. And even after the treatment, there's really no pain after the treatment. After you have the tattoo lasered, oftentimes we'll just put Aquaphor, which is just like a fancy over-the-counter Vaseline. You just keep it coated, and it heals up quickly. But it takes time for the immune system to move in and clear it. So even though it heals, it takes several weeks to see an improvement.
Huh. Okay. And any other advice? We're talking, I should tell you, we're talking to Dr. Paul Stanislaw, who's a board-certified facial plastic and reconstructive surgeon. He's both trained in ENT and plastic surgery. And he is located in Avon, Connecticut. So any of you around the Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut region can benefit from him. But his website is stanislawmd.com, S-T-A-N-I-S-L-A-W, MD.com. Before we go, let's talk about plastic surgery procedures for to slow the rate of aging, or at least to make you look younger. I understood there were new lasers and some new fillers that last much longer. Tell us about those.
So the lasers, really, you have to think of them as treatments for fine lines and fine wrinkles and for pigmentation issues. So people have maybe brown spots, solar lentigines, and for fine lines and wrinkles. Those lasers are, there's a variety of them. They all have, there's many different names. But they can be divided into two categories. They can be fractionated, where just imagine the laser drilling a little hole in the skin in a pattern, so it's making little holes into the skin, not removing all the top layer of skin, or fully ablative, where it moves the top layer of the skin. I have a personal bias. I don't feel that the fractionated lasers are very cost-effective. I think that they do very little for what what people sell them for. I feel that the fully ablative lasers are better and more effective. In regards to, again, that laser technology right now is there's nothing magical that's on the horizon right now. The most commonly used fully ablative laser is an erbium YAG, which is a nice balance between effectiveness and downtime. From an injectable fillers, the most common fillers today use are of a category called hyaluronic acids. They're clear gels. They are synthetically made. They're the same. They're made of the same stuff that fills our eyeballs. So our eyeballs are filled with a clear gel that we see through. It's hyaluronic acid. Our bodies make the hyaluronic acid. Our enzymes make it, and we have enzymes that break it down. So there's always this turnover of this material. We take the gene out of a person and we put it into bacteria, and then that gene and those bacteria make the hyaluronic acid. So it's not human, it's not animal, but it's the same stuff that's in every one of us. Those hyaluronic acids are very popular right now because they are the safest materials we have. We can mold them, we can shape them, we can inject them superficially, we can inject them deep into deep wrinkles. We can erase them. We have a synthetic enzyme, the same enzyme that's in the human body that breaks it down. We take the gene, we put it into a different cell line, and we make that enzyme. So if at any point you don't like that filler, it can be erased with that enzyme where you just inject the medicine into the filler, and over the course of a week, it dissolves it, makes it all go away. As for the durations of these fillers, they really are dictated by the location in which they're injected. The more motion in an area, the quicker it breaks down. So if I put filler into someone's lips where there's a lot of motion, it's going to last about 6 to 9 months. If I put it underneath someone's eyes, like in what we call the tear trough area, where there's not a lot of motion, it'll last 18 months to 2 years before you'd have to touch it up.
You have heard a really great, I guess almost a seminar in what to do for aging, what you can do, and a lot of the other tricks. With the one that I love, use 9% micronized zinc oxide at all times in all exposed areas to slow your rate of aging as a sunblock. We've been talking with Dr. Paul Stanislaw. His website, stanislawmd.com. He's located in Avon, Connecticut, an expert in tattoo removal and no regrets tattoos. I guess a lot of people, approximately one out of every four who gets a tattoo, has a regret about it. We should also say that we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition, mypersona.com, which helps end the confusion about vitamins, because the Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. Go to mypersona.com. You can take the free online assessment and get a free nutritional consult from the nutritionists and dietitians at mypersona.com. I want to thank Luis for great engineering, but especially you for downloading us. This has been 972B. Obviously, a great session about skin aging and tattoo removal. And so I would tell your friends, especially the friends who look like they're aging, say, I know a way to stay younger. You can join me in listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast, 972B. Or maybe you don't want to mention that it talks about aging skin and just say it's a great session about skin, talks about tattoos, especially how to get rid of one and why you can tell your kids never to get one in the first place, or grandkids, because they're really expensive to get rid of. Thanks very much, Dr. Stanislaw. Thank you for downloading us and listening. Remember, the A segments are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. The B are experts that we get to question and find out advice from. And remember, talk to your own doctor before you do anything. Longevity is the next disruptor, and you get a chance to slow longevity with skin aging from this talk. And in the A segment, we did a lot of discussion about the latest science and, in fact, whether a poly pill will make an important contribution for you, or whether it's personalized medicine that is more important for you. So do talk to your own doctor, though, before you put any of these strategies to work. Thanks again for downloading us. Tell your friends about us. We'll be back next week with another great guest and another News of the Week and what it means to you. Thanks again.